the respect table, but I'm here. Okay, welcome everyone. Okay. Welcome everyone here to the meeting. I assume we can all hear us properly. I think all the microphones are working in good working order. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting, shouldn't speak. Everyone should ensure the mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent or flight mode. The use of mobile phones for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded except for the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments that they make. Remind councillors of their obligation under the council's code of conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on the item and should not take part in any vote. Okay. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, I have potential conflict of interest with item number 26, so I'd be leaving the room at that item.
Chairman, I'll have a conflict of interest in regard to the signed sealing of documents, and I'll leave the meeting of that room, and Mr. Curtis will take that item on the agenda, the sealing of documents, number 20.
Okay, go back to item 1 then, and we'll have apologies. Okay, Councillor Devlin.
Sure, Councillor Jarlett Penley.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
I'm Patrick Clark. Patrick Brown, sir. I'm Patrick Brown.
Thank you, David. Okay, then Chairman's remarks. Under Chairman's remarks, I just would like to wish on behalf of ourselves, I'm sure everyone will join me in that, a speedy recovery to Jarlett. After a serious accident, and I'm in the process of organising a small token gift to him, and I will be calling down to see him. So, I also want to congratulate Paula Gribben on the birth and safe delivery of his third baby daughter just a short time ago, so congratulations. So, and he's calling it Gillian. So. So, okay, we've done the declarations of interest. We will then move on to item 3, minutes of council meeting held on the 3rd of October 2016. For accuracy, we'll go through the pages. Page 1, 2, oh, sure. Can you just hold on? I'll just go through the minutes for accuracy. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Proposed. Second. Proposed. Gary Stokes seconded. Okay,
Hardy. Madam Chair, it was just on in response to a query from Councillor Riley, Mr. Hannaway undertook to check the process for the A2 road. The Minister has come back, and the recommendation at that meeting when Mr. Hannaway raised it was that the Crotleigh and Mourne councillors appointed delegation. The only thing I would mention to you, Madam Chair, is that 99.9% of the A2 we're talking about is within the Mourne's DEA. The only bit that's in Mourne Point in the Crotleigh is between Campbell's Garage and the fire station, which is largely urbanised anyway, so you wouldn't be able to do much with it. So would it be appropriate, Madam Chair, if the Mourne's councillors could attend that meeting with the Minister if the Crotleigh were in agreement?
Any disagreement on Henry attending with along with the rest of the Mourne's councillors? Everyone okay with that? Yeah.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Chairman, just to, Eileen's been liaising with the department today on that. She maybe give you an update on that.
Yeah. Originally, the minister had said he would meet with the delegation on the 13th of December, and they came back this morning and said the minister's not available and suggested the 14th. Now that's clashing with your efficiencies working group, where you will be taking on the rates process, and I would imagine that councillors wouldn't want to miss that. So they've given us another date in January, beginning of January. I just can't remember the exact date, Councillor Riley. Is it the 9th? So we'll go with that. Okay.
Is that enough? Okay. 3B, the action sheet. So page 1, 2, 3, Liam, do you want to leave on that?
Yes, Chairman, I think all the actions have been actioned except regard to the issues around Rivers Agency and the ownership of the car park in Capital Street and the arrangements out there, and a paper will be coming to EIT on that issue. But everything else, Chairman, I think has been resolved.
Sure. What was that again about the Clanry River?
Where, in terms of the issue of the Clanry River, I think was Rivers Agency onwards. And the other thing is the ownership of the car park and the money.
It's not to do with the ownership, but it's the income generated from it.
That's right. It's going to be dealt with.
What we were told initially.
Yeah. And there'll be paper coming back to ERT on that, Chairman.
Right. Well, I'm not on the ERT. Could something be sent to me then?
Yeah. We'll arrange for you to be invited to that meeting, Chairman.
Okay. Item 4, minutes of the special council meeting held on the 26th. So for actually page 4, 5. Proposed? Carry. Second, Gary Hearn. Gary says, any matters arising? Answer Casey Jones for Chuck Light.
Oh, thank you, pardon.
Happy enough? Yeah, okay. Item 5, minutes of the special council meeting held on the 20th of October. Okay, so for actually page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? Second?
Sure. Just for accuracy, I phoned in an apology for that meeting, but it's not registered under the apologies.
Okay, we'll make a mention there. Proposed and seconded?
Yes, Chair.
Rushing?
Chair,
second. Gareth, seconded, yes. Any matters arising?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Henry.
When are we holding the debate on this in January then? Is that right, Mr. Hannon?
Chairman, we'll be holding the debate. The sequencing is set out in the meeting. But basically, we're appointing a consultant to carry a review of the consultation responses. Once that's done, then we'll bring that forward to the Equality and Good Relations Committee, which involves representatives from each party. And then we would then be tabled at the next available council meeting. We were estimating that roughly the January, February, but that'll depend really on the consultation and on the paper prepared. But yes, you're certainly looking at this which in the new year, but a date to be determined. But it'll be a special council meeting. It won't be part of the normal council sequencing, if you know what I mean.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Item 6, minutes of the special meeting held the 24th of October. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Proposed? Robert?
Terry.
Any matters arising? No? Okay. Item 7, minutes of special council meeting held the 25th of October. Page 1, 2, 3, 4. Proposed. Cadogan. Seconded. Davy Highland. Any matters arising? Okay. David Taylor. Apologies, Phil. Okay. Item 8. Minutes of the ERT committee meeting held on the 10th of October. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Just on the top of page 3.
Councillor Bailey has pointed out that she asked for council to look at the fee, or for National Trust to consider the feasibility of a park and ride from Castle Ward to Strangford Village and not Downpatrick, as stated in the minutes.
Okay, happy enough for that amendment?
Thanks, Chairman.
Yeah. I noticed that the National Trust was there to speak to the committee about, you know, their properties and one thing and another. I was contacted by people within the community that have been working very hard on the Darrenmore Estate, which is a fantastic venture. And I know there have been a lot of work done between the council, the National Trust and the Friends of Darrenmore. And they were quite dismayed that the person if the newspaper reported it right, seemed to be totally unaware that Derrymore estate existed. So I think if we're having people coming to council meetings to talk about it, they should be talking about things within the entire council area, not just selected points. We are, after all, one council now, just like that recorded. In the future, if someone comes, that they are aware of exactly the whole council area.
Okay. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 proposed. Okay. Councillor Hannah?
Chair, on page 8 there, the marine license for Newcastle Harbour. I still have a problem with that. There, 3 years is far too long, so it is, and I think it should be sent back for more consideration, so it should to the ERT committee. I know that they're doing a bit more work until it, but what I believe is going to happen at that harbour, and I don't know if anybody else agrees with me, but if we go to 3 year allocation of moorings, what's going to happen then? They're going to be automatically renewed, and all we'll be doing so well is of keeping a private harbour for those boys to use exclusively. So personally, I honestly think that is wrong. 3 years is totally and utterly wrong, so I would propose that be sent back again to ERT there for more consideration. Thanks.
Councillor Craig?
Sorry, that's a different point. Just a part B of it, that a report to be submitted to the next meeting, which was options on what process can be used to allocate mooring. So maybe that is a direct response to point A. It's a wee bit of a conflict there, in a sense, I think, isn't it? You know, so it looked to me really, maybe it is, if that's where held off until that report comes back, and then we're supposed to take a final decision on it.
Okay, maybe we get Marie to come in on this?
Sure. I don't think they're intentionally direct conflicts. I think what the process is referring to there is just how we actually allocate the moorings. There is an administrative process, but I would certainly suggest that we can actually just bring a bit more detail back to the ERT committee regarding the 3 year process on that and how that's dealt with.
Henry?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I would definitely agree with Councillor Hannah on this, and given that we were heavily involved in the Annalone Harbour, and although it's not in good shape now, it was always recommended by the consultants at that time that you did not give anything more than 1 year tenure on any berth. And we had got examples at that time, and I'm talking now 12 to 15 years ago, of whereby people had actually taken their berth tenure and they were selling it on a couple of years tenure on and making money out of it. Now, I don't know what's the crack in Newcastle, but certainly it's a very, very dangerous precedent and something that you should, if you can't do it on a yearly basis, there should be a lot of conditions put on. Yeah. If it's not, Madam Chair.
So you second them, don't you?
Chair, I don't mind it going back to the committee. There's still a bit of work to do in regards to that, but I would tend to disagree with the proposal. I think it's better on a 3 year basis for me, even from an admin or resource issue of council staff having to do this every year. It creates a lot of friction, and people are very passionate about births and particularly people who've had bursted that harbour for generations, you know, so it goes very deep. But I don't mind it going back to ERT.
Is everyone
in
agreement for it to go back? Yes.
Sorry, another point, Chair.
Yes, Councillor
Smith. Madam Chair, it's a point on the Northern Ireland Business Startup Programme, and basically I want just a wee bit of information. Just the involvement of councillors on that, because this is a very important bit of work, business startup programmes, and just wondered if councillors are kept regularly informed, or is there an opportunity for councillors to input into what way things are going on that. Sure.
Marie?
Chair, the business startup programme has proved challenging just in getting the setup and the transfer. We do report regularly and probably have reported monthly, if not bi-monthly, on it to the ART committee. We can certainly look if we get it up and running as how we involve councillors more in just the detail of it.
Okay. Happy enough, Councillor Craig? Move on to the next item.
Yes.
Okay. The minutes from, the FPNR from the 13th of October. So through for minutes for accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Proposed.
And also, Chair, I'd like to take the opportunity in relation to the portraits of the former chairpersons. I see the work has been carried out and that the work looks very impressive, and to all concerned, a big thank you and well done.
Okay, thank you. Matters arising?
Yeah. Chair, just two things. So, within that meeting, I did ask Eddie Curtis around the Ballykinder former school site, Kendall Primary School. And although he did provide an update, I'm hoping that one of the possible other directors that might be involved could give us a further update of where we're at the moment. Are we at an advanced stage of getting this purchase? Because it's been a long ongoing subject at the moment.
Is Michael
Lipsett
taking it?
That's why I'm asking the question.
Michael Lipsett, raise my hand, I think.
Doing the side. There's no seat down there. Thank you, sir. We are bringing the report back to the next PNR on where we are with that. We're just trying to finalise the price and the business case for that site, so it will be a report to the next PNR meeting.
Yeah,
okay.
What's the second?
The second question is in relation to the management accounts, which I did scrutinise throughout the meeting. But probably the question I missed is, although the senior management team hadn't reviewed at that point, I'm hoping they have reviewed it since that meeting, but I wanted to get an understanding of when next we would be getting that action plan that they're putting in place to address the variances and the overspend that we've seen at the moment.
Thank you, Councillor. Yes, there has been a lot of scrutiny of the accounts since the date of FPNR, and you'll note in the minutes that we're bringing a report back to the next PNR committee on that. So I'll be back with your next FPNR committee.
And within the report that you're sending back, during the meeting I was asking around a bit more detail of where the overspend was. Will that be provided as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Chairman, I'm seeking your agreement as part of the minutes to on SPR 228 correspondence to land and property regarding lands at Sugar Island and SPR 229 disposal of land at Caribbean. Just a correspondence that we received that there, which makes us maybe review the recommendation, and we want to bring that back to the next SPNR committee. So if members will agree to the amend that, make that amendment, Chairman.
Yep.
On agreement? Thank you. Next item. Item 10. Okay, it's the minutes of the Active and Healthy Community Committee held on the 17th of October. So it's reading for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Proposed. Pete Martin, seconded. And Stevie Byrne. Okay. Any matters arising? And Charlie?
Go ahead. A couple of things. Thanks very much, Roisin. A couple of things. The review of community centre effectiveness. I know I raised an issue with the director a number of months ago about the funding or buying of or the supplying of consumables, and apparently the process was due to be reviewed, whereby maybe a sum of money can be given and allow them to order them as they need them, rather than, you know, come with a full 6 months supply at one given any one given time. Could you tell me where that review is now? Is that particular aspect included in stage one of the review?
Chair, that aspect is included in stage one of the review, and in fact, this year what we have started to do with all of the groups, instead of us supplying the toilet rolls, is we pay them the money up front. So groups are now able to get all the money for that up front and just purchase toilet rolls themselves or the other consumables that they're looking for. So yeah, that was done in part of stage one.
Yes, just today I was at was having my colleague Barry Harker at the AGM of Derrybeg Community Association, and they were one of the groups that raised it. Now, I didn't get an opportunity to speak to them to see was that what you suggested had been enacted, and you tell me it is, and it's working. Great.
Should be, yes.
Great, okay. The second, Chair, if you don't mind, is to do with the article concerning neighbourhood renewal revenue projects. My query would be around capital projects, and there are a number of capital projects which are sitting ready to go, but obviously there's no funding being released for them. Is there any likelihood of that? And the reason I mention it is because the BMX track, which we worked together on for a number of years in Derrybeg, including the Derrybeg community, they're asking us the current status of that, and Drummond Lane Community Centre. Can you tell me, is there any likelihood of funding being released from the department to actually maybe take one or two of them that are sitting all ducks in a row ready to go? Not obviously not at the end of this financial year, it would never happen, but maybe 2017.
Yeah. We're certainly hopeful, Chair, and we're working to that end. We've got the projects ready to go. DSD through the Department of Communities are hoping to be able to secure the funding to move ahead with all of those next year. There may also be some funding towards the end of this year that could get the project started. So, absolutely.
Because both those projects that I mentioned are
actually related. There's five projects in total.
I'm sure there is, but I'd just those two for now. Thank
absolutely.
You. Thank you.
Rasheen, thanks very much.
Good night, Mary.
Thanks, Chair. Could I just ask, perhaps, Camlagh Community Association are hoping to apply for Piece 4 funding. I think they're the only village in the whole of South Armagh that doesn't have some sort of community centre, and they are ready to apply for Piece 4 funding. Could I ask that some council officials would meet with them and give them whatever assistance they can? It's a very proactive community group, and they have done great work both within the village and, you know, in the development of the lake. So any support that we can give would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, Eddie's going to take up notes.
Chair, on that matter, we've maybe met with the group once, and we have set up another meeting. We're checking with the planners the status of the planning application as it is, and we have told them that we will make some of the officers free and available to assist them with the completion of the application form. We believe there's only going to be 8 schemes funded for the whole of Northern Ireland, Chairman, so it'll be a very awkward process.
Henry?
Madam Chair, can I ask your indulgence for this on community issues? It's not on this agenda, but very, very quickly, Madam Chair, work and family tax credits. It's a retained issue, so the Assembly has no say on it. But I don't know what other councillors are seeing around their patches, but down our way, it seems to be in meltdown. And there's people been in terrible, terrible, difficult family circumstances because of it. And I would appreciate if the council would write to this crowd that are doing it. It's a private company, and they actually do a lot of the work in Belfast. And even if the council could have met with them or something and see, can we get them moved on a bit? Because it's ridiculous, Madam Chair. There's people now coming up to Christmas, haven't got money, don't know when they're going to get their money, even though they're fully entitled to it. It's a desperate situation.
Okay, Henry. I'm glad I indulged you, even though you didn't wait for me to say yes. But anyhow, we will send a letter off. Is that everybody okay with that? Okay. Declan?
Yeah, is this on page 5, pay strategy update?
Yeah.
I'm just, there was a series of public meetings or consultations I held, but some of them were very badly attended. And then I've had people come to me and saying, you know, what's the council's, what is the pay strategy and where does it sit? And there seems to be an alleged problem about communicating. And I know the one that I have had is just that somebody has said that from one point only one or two people turned up. But
someone said that it wasn't advertised in the papers that these consultations were on, and that there was, and you can't get in on the council website. You can't see anything on it, what's going on. So I'd just love to know exactly what did happen in that public consultation, how it was put out there in the community. And again, just where is it at the moment, sitting? Is it, is it still up in the air, still taking representations on it? So nothing makes sense. Thank you.
Mike is going to take it up, but the surveys are open until, I think it's the 7th of December, but Michael.
So the survey's still open to them, so absolutely there's plenty of time. This is the first round of consultation, so a bit like the facility strategy, we will have
a second round of consultation when we'll again have a chance to have an input into it. So it'll run for a number of months yet, so there's plenty of time for that. In terms of it was advertised in all of the local papers, I'll send you a list of those tomorrow, if that's okay. We also put press statements out to all of the local press, and it was pretty widely advertised on our website and other council accounts and so on. So, but I can send you detail of all of that and how it was promoted and advertised tomorrow, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's just for the city media,
Mickey?
Thanks, Chair. Page 7, health and well-being, the issue around the caravan site, Portal Road, Newry. The final item on it states the department will continue to monitor the site in relation to fire safety and public health. I was just wondering, has anybody monitored it recently? There is a mound of rubbish on the roadside, which is horrific. It's close to businesses, play park, football field. I was wondering, has the council ascertained whether there's enough bins on site? Have we engaged with that community in relation to the state of the entrance to the site? And it certainly is a public health issue. And I mean, the rats are that big, they're eating the cats out of it. You know.
Okay. Michael, do you want to come in there again?
Yeah, Chair. The environmental health staff are out there quite regularly checking on it. We're aware there's an issue, and there's also a group that sit with councillors on it who discuss these issues locally. So we will refer back to them, but we have been talking about it. We'll get someone back out again tomorrow to have another look, but our officers have been out to have a look at it on a number of occasions.
Okay, Maggie? Okay. Davey?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's good to see areas there throughout Newry getting requests in for community centres and for additional funding for play facilities, etc. The area which I live in and represent, because it's not in the neighbourhood renewal, seems to have been penalised as a result, and there's nothing, and I mean nothing, coming into the area surrounding Carnford Park, Sean Neal Park, Commons Way, etc. Indeed, it seems, I mean, following the Halloween period, I phoned our council in relation to tires and to furniture, seating furniture, which was being used and utilised by young people for drinking and antisocial behaviour. And I was told that we have a week before those items will be removed. I think that's intolerable. I don't think a community should have to wait for that length of period. Because if you're talking about another week, then you're talking about another weekend, and you're going to talk about the possibility of more antisocial behaviour, more drinking, and more burning of tires, etc. So I really think that our council, and it's despite not being in the neighbourhood renewal area, it really needs to pull the finger out of them up. Thank you.
Gary Stokes.
Yeah, Chair, just I would support Councillor Hyland or what he's talking about in relation to the park, Carnifer Park, council former park, or certainly was current as former, but it's been land in an awful state. At the end of the day, it's council land, and council haven't maintained it, and have really quite shameful. And equally, I mean, that whole area of the town, for example, you know, Peter McParran Park on the Bonnie Lane, which again, council park, but it hasn't any investment there. And my son's 18 now and he's grown up, and there hasn't been any money or investment in that council park during his lifetime. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, we'll take note of those and would encourage everyone to try and get people to fill in the surveys that are available online. Go on to item 11, the minutes of the RTF committee from the 19th of October. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, proposed.
Second.
Seconded by any matters arising? Yes, Councillor Sharon.
Thank you, Chair. It's just a question on page 7. Page 6 even. As under the item, this iPad's doing something, I don't know. It's under where we're going to retain 5 old refuge vehicles. So I'm assuming that we either own them or we have purchased them since the end of their lease. So I'm just wanting to understand what those 5 old refuge vehicles will be actually used for. And then the next part of that is that we're hiring 10 additional refuge staff. Now, within the minutes, it doesn't actually tell me how long that temporary staff will actually be contracted for. And knowing this council, sometimes those contracts can run for years because they're renewed so often. So it would just be good to understand what the 5 old refuge vehicles will be for. Will it be when a vehicle breaks down, or is it for a particular service? And then to how long those 10 additional staff will actually be temporary.
Chair, the intention is to retain 5 vehicles specifically to enable the fleet to be large enough to do the additional collection that will be required because of the extension of the brown bins. There's 27,500 additional houses will need to be collected from, and we've been able to work out that will take 5 vehicles. So we have 8 new vehicles on order. So when the 8 new vehicles arrive, we would typically have gotten rid of 8 old vehicles. So in this instance, rather than get rid of them all, we'll retain 5 of them for a year, and then hopefully over the next number of years, slowly but surely get back to a proper fleet size again. So it's to avoid the very significant increase in capital cost that would be required to buy 5 new vehicles. That's the reason for it. And each one of those vehicles will need a crew of 2, a driver and a helper. That's where the 10 staff come from. Right. And our immediate intention is to have those people for 1 year. And we would hope that by the end of that 12-month period, we would have completed a round optimization that would allow us to reduce the number of rounds. Because to date, we haven't been able to do full round optimization between the rounds as were in Legacy Down and the rounds as were in Legacy Newry. And basically, we're running probably more rounds than we need to. And if we can do a proper rounds optimization, we'd be able to reduce that down. Maybe not immediately by 5, and therefore we'd be coming back probably the next year to extend 1 or 2 before those staff, etc. I can't actually tell you exactly, but that's our intention.
Okay. And do we know what the average age of our vehicles is at the moment, and how old those 5 old refuge vehicles will be? Because I'm conscious that from the old days of RTS and the old council, is the older the vehicle, the more inclined they are to break down, which then incurs a maintenance charge that this council will need to consider.
Chair, I haven't got the exact figures now. I can certainly get them. We were getting close. In another maybe 2 years, we would have been down to the average age of 7, which is what our target is, that they could recycle them at 7 years old. But most of those 5 vehicles will be 9, 10 or 11 years old.
Right, okay. All right, thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Mine's RTS 157, page 2 of the report. It's what was agreed by a proposal by myself and seconded by Councillor David Taylor. I think the wording isn't right there. Maybe on the day I was stuck in a butterball or a mint and field or something, and somebody didn't understand what I was saying. It was to do with the roundabout at the other side of Cairn Bain. My proposal or suggestion was that the council actually take over the upkeep of that. You know, we do a marvellous job in other roundabouts, and that one that's a bit of an eyesore as you come from the Tandy Road in towards Newry, that one, before you meet the one at Bybridge, which is in pristine condition. So It's not to investigate how much it would cost a business to sponsor. It was, would the council, in conjunction with Transport NI, take over the running of that and actually do something with it?
Hi, it's just a point of clarity. I was of the understanding that councillors can bring any item that they choose to a committee, but I see from here that Councillor McGrew has decided that this is not the right way to go about it, and it's really just to clarify if who's correct on this issue. Can councillors raise an item at a committee and expect it to go onto the agenda? Or is it, as Councillor McGrew says, it has to go through the directors or assistant directors?
Chairman, the issue, it depends really on the MC issue. There is issues. Members have broad issues and put them on committees. If sufficient notice is, it would be put on the agenda. And there's several examples of that has happened. It's issues in terms of if there's an issue regarding an individual reappear that has to be dealt with, there is a protocol whereby that should be raised with the head of services director, then with the director, then with the chief executive. It has to be dealt with, then it's brought to council. That's the protocol for operational issues. But in terms of other issues, I could cite for a number of examples whereby, you know, the litter task force was a motion brought by members. There was an issue regarding some historic monuments where a councillor actually raised that, got that on the agenda. That could be done. That's agreed. As long as it's brought to the director's attention in conjunction with the member, with the chairman, it can be put on the agenda, and there's several examples of that being done. However, operational issues are issues that have to be dealt with through the protocol, because other than that, there you'd be dealing with each individual issue at a committee meeting and where it could actually be resolved and dealt with at the proper level within the organisation.
Yeah, I just noticed Sam's had asked that a list of staff contacts would again be issued to all councillors. I thought that was discussed at one stage earlier, quite a few months ago, when a lot of the positions were being filled. But I'm not aware of having any list of contact. Especially in the new dispensation and new member staff that we're not familiar with, maybe down here, in the northern part of the council area. So I would definitely appreciate a list and see who all right down the line, who's responsible for everything. We don't really have a clue who's doing what.
Yes, Chairman, there was a staff list issued. We are actually issuing our staff list with various functions, which will be issued to all councillors at the end of the week, starting next week.
Okay. Yeah, and just to clarify, as Liam said, it wasn't about councillors not being able to raise issues. It was about councillors coming in with issues where they hadn't actually contacted the relevant staff to give them an opportunity to resolve the issue. And I remember I certainly got a list of all of the staff, their contact details, the way in which they were to be contacted, the whole line of command, if you like, and it was just simply the request was, rather than people coming in, to send that list out, that was simply it.
Okay, Brian?
Yes, Chair, thank you. I was just going to concur with my colleague here. I would like that list resent again, but I was wondering, is there any chance that list could be sent in the same format as the old emergency contact list? Because quite often we as councillors are out on the ground and we're contacted by people. The old list was done in a card form which was laminated, which made it, easy for a councillor to carry it with them in their wallet or purse, and it was hardware. But you start printing these things out in sheets and things like that, it's very hard to keep them on your person when you're out dealing with day-to-day constituency issues.
I mean, we can look at that. The issue is in terms of the functions, to actually detail out the functions under each of the assistant directors. You're probably talking about 10 different functions, so it's quite hard to get that all onto one sheet, but we certainly look at the format for members.
Okay. Councillor Sharp. Yes, Brian.
Guys, listen. Okay,
Councillor Sharvin. Chair, maybe I picked up on what the Chief Executive said there. I'm not sure what the item was being requested at the committee, but in the next item we're actually discussing standing orders, and under standing order 12.2 it says any member who wishes to have a particular matter included on the agenda for a meeting of the committee shall make such a request in writing to the appropriate chief officer. If the subject matter request falls within the remit of that committee and the action proposed to be taken lawful. So if it, I'm gathering it's a list of details, that falls within the remit of the committee. So I don't know why the item wasn't taken from one reading and standing orders.
Okay.
Sorry, standing orders are amended standing orders.
That's not in red, so it's not Liam. I'm assuming in standing orders amendment where you put the font colour red is the amendment, so that's an actual item within standing orders.
I need to look at that. Chairman, the arrangement is, as explained. Chairman, we need to look at that again. I think that is not, that is the amended standing of orders. Yeah.
Councillor, it's not in your current standing orders. The one that you have at the minute, it was something that the senior management had considered adding, but since we started the review, we've been at these standing orders for quite some time, and that one should have been taken out. This looks as if it may be a wrong version that you've been given with this in it. We weren't proposing to put that into the revised version, but it is a matter for the council. As the Chief Executive said, we thought that the procedure that we had at the minute was working well with the committees. This was something we looked at. It is in Belfast City Council standing orders, and we considered putting it in, but we weren't tabling it for inclusion this time. But it is a matter for the council.
Point of information, could you all use your light system, please? So there is somebody speaking here.
Sorry, Chair, I know we're skipping on to the next item, but I'm assuming that the next item is incorrect and it will need to come back then to council for consideration.
Yeah, Chairman, I think on the basis out there that we need to maybe withdraw the next item and review it and bring it back, Chairman.
Okay. So, Dogan?
I think, Chairman, I've explained there is a way where members can put it on the committee, and indeed, members have continually put issues on the committee. What we're saying is for operational issues. You know, we need you know, the operational protocol has been there whereby members can raise the issues and at the point that they can bring it on to the council.
Okay. Still doing it. Just slow motion. Okay. So item 13, we will be removing for tonight.
13, 13, yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay.
We need to check the terms of reference. This next item is
item 12, the committee terms of reference. And Liam's going to lead on that.
Again, Chairman, you know, part of the audit requested us to review terms of reference of the council committees, taking on board the new working groups that have been set up and forums. Chairman, they are there. I need a proposer and seconder from the Chairman.
Proposer?
Proposed, Chair.
Seconder? Yes, Councillor
Clark. Just to check on the Active Healthy and Communities Committee, just in regards to their terms of reference, I had met with Marie and Michael in regards to smaller beaches, rural beaches, being included in Michael's brief and taken out of Marie's Department of Tourism. And the same was with the forests, smaller forests, that they would be included in Michael's brief. And taken out of Marie's brief, and Marie's brief in regards to forests would be the main forest parks, you know, the Kilbronies, Gullion, Caswell and Tullymore and Donard would be Marie's priorities, and the other forests then would fall under Michael's brief, where the community would be more responsible, just to maybe have that included, because it does say responsible for forests, open spaces,
yeah.
But if we could maybe just include that.
Okay, you can add that, Chairman, into that, yeah.
So, item 13 is moved, okay.
13, yeah.
Item 14, correspondence received from the Boundary Commission for Northern Ireland.
Again, Chairman, just to take that, that's just the parliamentary constituencies. Again, I've written to the Secretary of the Boundary Commission to say that we responded on the basis of political parties.
Okay. And correspondence received from the Department for Communities regarding the proposed closure of Ballinhedge. And Newcastle Social Security Offices?
Yeah, but Chairman, the correspondence is there. I draw members' attention to the last paragraph, and that meeting has been organised for next Tuesday, the 15th of November, between 12:30 and 2:30. And again, Chairman, if we get an agreement on the members that will attend that, I'd imagine, given it's the DAA, that it's members from the relevant DAAs. Our representatives from the parties and everything, but it's highly up to the members, Chairman.
Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. I see in the letter here it's going to be Tommy O'Reilly, you know, and Joanne McCaffrey were meeting. Here we are again, and I don't care who the minister is, to be honest, in relation to it. Here we are again as a corporate body, taking a meeting with a minister over whatever. Should it be hospitals? Should it be job losses? And they don't seem to want to meet us. And that does really annoy me. So it does, that a corporate body such as Newry Moreland Down Council seeks a meeting with the minister in relation to threatened job losses, people's way of lives been cast into turmoil because they're going to have to travel either from Ballinahinch to Lisburn to Downpatrick, or from Newcastle to Kilkeel Downpatrick, and they refuse to meet. You know, they send two other people and they let us meet two other people. Yes, we should go and meet them, but I want to put on record that I'm disappointed that ministers at Stormont won't come and meet us as a council, irrespective of who the ministers are. You know, I'm very consistent when I attack ministers, irrespective of what party they come from. I don't try and defend them, so I don't. But I'm annoyed that the ministers can't come and meet this council as a corporate body.
Chair, just could you give us the date of that meeting again?
Sorry, it's the 15th, next Tuesday, the 15th of November, between 12:30 and 2:30.
Just on that, Chair, there's going to be an adjournment debate in the Assembly in regards to the closures. I think it's the Cookstown MLA, Linda Dillon, I think, has tabled the adjournment debate, but it's the same issue that's impacting Newcastle and Ballinahinch. And there'll be a number of buses going up till that to Stormont on that day. So anybody that's available or any contact with any voluntary groups out there to ensure that they get up for the day of action up in Stormont. I think there'll be plenty of opportunity then to have a discussion with Mr. O'Reilly when we arrive up there. I agree. I think it's a flippant sort of response. But I think we should be inviting the Minister down to look at the offices that are being impacted by the suggested closures and to see firsthand of the good work and the facilities that's actually in place. If we look at, I think we're going to discuss the consultation approach on this item, Richard. It's on our agenda item. No?
Aye, Chairman.
No,
You got me there.
If I can just say, I do believe that they are out of touch in regards to how this is going to impact on families and particularly women in regards to this, and to say that an equality impact assessment wasn't really necessary at this stage, I think it's a disgrace, actually, because this will impact all sections of our communities. If we look at the under 25, for example, they get £57.90 in job seekers. And to say that if we close the Newcastle office or the Ballinahinch office, for them then to find £6.90 out of the £57.90, I think that brings a stark reality that £180 per year will become out of people's benefits. And this is the most vulnerable people out there. £180 per year, where when people are signing on or and it's close to signing on, people wouldn't have £7. Is the thing that people need to bear in mind. See, the people who draw up these proposals, they don't know what it's like to live with a bit of science, please.
Thank you.
They don't understand what it's like to be on benefits, to be in the poverty trap. To look at when people are saying no, they're lucky to have a bottle of milk in the fridge. They're lucky to have a loaf. They're lucky to have a can of beans. That's the stark reality. And when they start talking about taking £6.90 to go on a bus to Downpatrick, they're not living in the real world. These people haven't got the money to do that. And on Job Seekers Alliance, that is the minimum amount of government money that you can live on. That is the minimum amount of money that you can live on. And then to take £6.90 out of that money, I think it's a total scandalous decision. In regards to, as I say, I'll make a proposal that we do write and invite the Minister to come down to the affected offices and the Chair can facilitate that visit. I also would like to see the petition that's been organised by NIPSA and the impacted workers and community groups to be made available at all council buildings until the consultation closes on the 15th. So I make that a proposal.
Anyone agreement?
Thank you very much, Chair. First of all, I do agree with the sentiments. It is very disappointing that we're not going to get a meeting with the Minister. But, however, he'll keep for later on. But we do welcome the opportunity to meet with the officials in relation to the closures of the proposed closures of the local social security offices. I do agree with the previous speaker. These services are very, very important. And in addition to maybe the Social Security Office, maybe we could extend an invitation to the Minister of Health to come to that meeting to get down to a case also in relation to the Down Hospital, and maybe have a council meeting that would last all day to have the Minister of Communities then to deal with the closures of the Social Security Offices and Job Centres in our district, plus the Minister of Health in relation to the Down Hospital, and we could have a good day with both of them.
and I'd like to propose that an invitation be extended to both the Minister of Health and the Minister of Communities to come to this council to explain their case.
Chairman, we've already written to the Minister of Health asking her to come down to deal with the Down Hospital and the SEL Hospital, so that letter's in the system. So I really think that to send our question would sort of fly in the, you know, and would make an issue for the council, you know. Yeah, well, Chairman, I think that the members have agreed that, you know, we would send a letter to the Minister regarding this. However, I would say we have this meeting with the senior officials next week, and I think it'd be important to have that meeting. It's in the Commodore Room here, and we will have officers out to take a note of the meeting. So from that perspective, you know, we can gather that information and bring it back to the council so you can make further representation. So I think we need a cross-party representing both the Ballinahinch and the Newcastle area to attend the meeting, Chairman.
Councillor Walker.
Just on again. To be honest, we are elected by the people out there. And when we ask for government ministers to come here, irrespective of who they are, they should have the courtesy. They might have a full day, but don't mind me waiting a month or two for them and that, because the way I see it is, we seem to be easy pickings in Newry morning down over the last few months. You know, our health is in a state. We're losing jobs in the job market. We're now going to lose 4 outdoor pursuit centres within our district when you take in 2 possible in Killalea, 1 in Newcastle, Ard and Abannon. So there's another 4. And if they go through with that there's another tons of jobs lost in that. And you know, when's it going to end?
Thank you. Yes, David.
Sure, just to move on to what we're trying to get a delegation basically for this. I think the suggestion was either we do a cross-party delegation or we send the relevant DEAs. I would suggest that if we send the DEAs, that Sleaford Crook DEA is massively impacted by both closures on both sides. Obviously, the Mourns DEA and the Wallen DEA would want to be there. That's quite a huge amount of councillors to go in any one delegation. So I'm quite happy that everybody's singing off the same hymn sheet. So for me, a cross-party delegation would be a better representation of the council rather than sending so many councillors via DEAs. So I'd propose that we ask the parties to nominate and take a recommendation from the chief executive of exactly how many people should make up that delegation.
Thanks for that, Councillor Burns. I'm entirely in the members' hands.
Harry?
Sorry. I just want to nominate Billy to go on our behalf if we're going this route. Anyway,
Chair, on behalf of the Ulster Unionist Party, I nominate David Taylor.
I propose Stevie Horns because I'm a planning committee meeting on that day.
So we're all sorted then.
Okay.
Item 16 is correspondence received from the Executive Office in response to the motion. All right, folks, regarding unaccompanied refugee children.
Again, just Chairman, it's for an opener for information.
Okay. Item 17, correspondence received from NDA in response to motion regarding Sellafield. Okay. And then correspondence received from Minister O'Neill regarding the mental health and wellbeing strategy. Okay.
And just to let members know that we have done a response. As a matter of fact, it was agreed that the AHC meeting is coming through and coming is agreed to next meeting.
Chair,
I noticed the response from the Nuclear Decommissioning Authority is inviting a delegation from Council to go over and visit Sellafield. I think I would propose that we take them up on their offer and send a delegation to see and maybe try and monitor in some description how the decommissioning is going, particularly compared to how it was going even 10 years ago, 12 years ago. But maybe it's the stage thing, is do we make a recommendation first of all that we accept the invitation and then talk about numbers, or well, can I propose that we accept it, they accept the invitation? Need a few experts in decommissioning here.
Charlie, I am not surprised you said
that. Chair, and as a member, actually, co-chair of Nuclear Free Local Authorities, I will remind councillors, I think, of all the invites for a meeting, a very important meeting on the 25th of November in Dublin, and I would advocate that people consider going along there if they're available. With regards to this delegation, and I'm not sure how many we're talking about, I would propose the proposer of the motion, John, to go on that delegation, if that's available. And would be interested in going myself.
Chairman, maybe could I suggest we write back and see how many of a delegation they can take, and then maybe refer to party leaders to agree a suitable delegate numbers on to it, taking on board your comments regarding the proposal of the motion.
Okay, I welcome that. And Chairman,
right,
I do know Sinead Traynor, for example, is the secretary in Ireland, the whole thing. It may be considered about taking officials with us as well, particularly from environmental health. If that was, and it may do no harm to speak to Nuclear Free Local Authorities, maybe who could even join us over there, or give some advice on what exactly it is we should be asking these people over here.
So there's too many wee mini meetings going on. It's very hard to hear up here whenever somebody's speaking, so please give due respect. Terry.
Thanks so much, Chair. First of all, I wholeheartedly support and agree with my colleague, Councillor Carr, on what he said. You know, for a long and many years, Sellafield has been a very important issue in this part of East Down and right along the eastern seaboard of Ireland. And I do think it's a perfect opportunity, once confirmation of numbers are confirmed from the Nuclear Decommissioning Authority, I do think it's important that we do have representation to see the site at Windscale, or whatever you call it, Sellafield. So I second Councillor Carr's proposal that we go ahead with that.
Okay, I think
that
already
happened. Chairman, just in summary then, guys, what we do is write to them saying is we've now agreed, subject to the council agreeing this, that we'd send a delegation, ask them to seek the numbers that they can accommodate, and then we'll bring a paper together and maybe look at officers, getting officer support and getting advice from the Nuclear Free Authorities with a view to preparing a brief for members before they go on a delegation. Is that members content enough with that approach?
Sorry, on a serious note though, do we really think that Sellafield authorities are going to reveal everything to us as a delegation going over to look at the impact of cancer and of other diseases emanating from Sellafield? That's the reality of it, folks. It's a much more serious issue than some of us are presenting here tonight. It's one that has plagued this community on both sides of the border for many, many years. But I seriously would worry that very little will be shown of the harmful impacts and effects of Sellafield on our communities. But I still welcome the opportunity to go.
Okay, well, we'll bring it back. Okay. Item 19, in conference on mental health provision. Okay.
I said we have responded on that, Chairman.
We have responded on that item. Item 20. Guys, there's too many little mini meetings. There is a breakout area through there, if you wish. Okay?
Yeah, sorry, Chairman. It was I picked you up well, and I thought it was the correspondence regarding the mental health. This is a conference on mental health provision, which is at 8:30 to 1 o'clock. Again, there's two options there for members. want to say is it's going to cost £210 plus that to attend. Our copies of the briefing document, plus transcripts of all speeches, and therefore it can be purchased for £95 plus VAT or £50 plus VAT.
Councillor
Jarvan? Chair, you know, we've had motions come to this council, and many of the members of this council speak on how important mental health provision in Northern Ireland is, as well in our own district. And I was surprised that the silence has failed to have an opportunity to feed in to what mental health could look like in Northern Ireland. I'm not suggesting that we send someone there, but I think it would be beneficial if we got the documents, as long as it could be one document that could be shared amongst everyone. It could be loaded up to MinutePad, and members would have that option to certainly read the content that comes out of this, because every member, I'm sure, has spoken on mental health in this council at some point in time, and I'd expect that some of us would be really interested to fully understand what mental health will look like in Northern Ireland, not just now, but in the future.
Are you proposing option two?
Yeah, I'll propose option two.
Do you have a seconder for that? John Taylor. Okay, everyone in agreement? Okay, Councillor. Yes, I saw you, Henry.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, Madam Chair, if you go to that as an individual, it's £80, and then put it on your expenses if the council is so agreed. It's an easy way around it. But there's a really terrible drift of resources for mental health issues in this area, and it's getting worse, Madam Chair. It really is getting worse. So I don't see what a conference would do to improve it, but maybe the learning process would be valuable.
Well, we're going to get the information and get it shared. Okay. Thank you. So item 20, consultation and proposed changes to the law applying to Northern Ireland credit unions. Liam, do you want to pick up on that?
Chairman, you know, we've looked through it. We can't identify any particular issues for ourselves, particularly the credit unions, but again, members, just bring it to your attention if you want to make a response on it.
Okay. Item 21, state pension age, independent review of the interim report with questions.
Again, Chairman, that's an issue in terms of, it's a much wider societal issue in terms of the pension age. I'm sure members have their own individual views on that, and parties will have their views on it, probably too, Chairman.
Okay. Consultation. I take it you're past the then. Oh, okay. Consultation from the Education Authority, read the strategic review of nursery provision in special schools.
Again, Chairman, this is coming out over the next few weeks. They'll be running a wide screen. If you take the paragraph there, number of target engagement actions where they seek involvement from parents, key stakeholders in education and health and other advocacy bodies in interest of this work, with a view to introducing a new model commencing September 2017. Again, it's quite hard. It's quite specific to the area, so I really think the members need to be engaging with the ESA on this.
Happy enough, folks? Okay. Item 22, Programme for Government, launch of consultation. Liam?
Again, putting this on for members to get for information purposes, we will be bringing a paper to SPNR on our comments, because again, it ties in with our community plan, which we hope to launch this week, which again looks at how our community plan interacts and ties in with the Programme for Government.
Okay.
But again, that would bring forward paper to SPNR, not Chairman.
Okay, item 24, same with document. Do you want to leave the room then?
I do indeed.
Chairman, just to get through the sealing of the documents, item 1 is the release of charge for the Slay Community Association lands at the Slay. It was agreed at SPNR committee meeting on the 15th of September 2016 to release the charge. Number 2 is agency agreement, Uri Mourne and Down District Council and Department for Infrastructure Provision of Off Street Parking Enforcement and the penalty charge notice processing service. Number 3 is the license agreement for the use of Albert Basin in Uri by Parker Green for a period from the 1st of November 2016 to the 21st of January 2017 inclusive. This was approved by myself on the scheme of delegation and was reported through to the October SPNR. Item 4 is a 21-year lease of council-owned changing rooms at Oriel Park Bestwick to Pembroke United FC, and this was approved at SPNR in November 2015, and subsequently by the Council in December 2015. And the final one, Sir Man, is a service level agreement. Newry and Moreland Down District Council and Kilkeel Development Association has approved at ERT meeting, note reference ERT 163/2016. Chairman, with all of the papers, if any of the members would like to see any of those items, Chairman, they're all here. Somebody's a second, Chairman?
Okay.
Chair, I have three more items on here, so I don't know if any of them are recorded or not.
Sorry, I did not have the up-to-date one. My apologies. Chairman, number six, memorandum of sale and deed of transfer in Newry and Moreland and Down District Council to Anthony Cunningham for 1,313 square feet of land at 10 Old Road Dundrum. Number seven is grant of easement in Newry Moreland Down District Council to Killowen Contracts Limited Storm Drain at Burn Village Green. Retrospective and date of charge, Newry Moreland Down District Council and Newry District Lodge Number 9 grant funding. Thank you very much for that, Councillor Sharp.
Okay. Any silver proposal?
The same proposal, huh?
Then.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Item number 25 is the notice motion from Councillor Enright. However, I've got a note from here that Roisin has taken over as proposer of my motion at item 25.
As the Chair has pointed out, this motion actually came from Councillor Enright, and unfortunately I've left with glasses at home, so you'll be glad to hear I'll probably not get to read it all out. The majority of voters in the north of Ireland voted to remain in the European Union in the Brexit referendum, which took place on the 23rd of June. The uncertainty caused by the Brexit referendum result is already damaging trade and investment and causing currency fluctuations which are impacting on cross-border businesses. Basically, the gist of this is, and I, speaking from my own experience as someone that has run businesses for 20-odd years in the main corridor between Newry and Dundalk, I can speak from personal experience that uncertainty and boom and bust do not create the right environment for true investment and sustainability. And that Brexit simply is not good news for us in any make, shape or form. The group that has been set up, Border Communities Against Brexit for the North, they deserve the support of this council. You know, there is no plan B. We don't know where we're going with this. We do know, for example, that over the last decade, there's been over £1 billion in EU support for peace building and for our border communities. We also know that the North, the farming community, are going to suffer from a dramatic loss of income, as approximately 80% of farm incomes in the North it comes directly from European funding. So we are just asking that this council notes that this is, for Brexit to be forced on the people of the six counties is going to be absolutely devastating. And as I say, from personal experience, I can't see how if there's anything good can come out of this. Boom and bust will not help our economy or create sustainable jobs, which this council is all about. Thank you.
Okay, I'm just looking to find out who's the seconder here.
Okay, so
I will turn the lights on now and then follow after us.
Aye, thank you, Chair. I would like to second this motion here. Certainly for the rural communities, Brexit is a total and utter disaster. Any improvements that we made over the years for the rural communities was done by the rural communities and EU funding. And we have examples of that right through the entire district here, where the chairs of Newry, Moreland and Down District Council over the years would have been out to the officials opening of different facilities. Facilities that never would have happened had it not been for the EU funding and the councils and the rural communities coming together to provide these services. And that's only a minor part of it. Economically, it's a total and utter disaster for the entire north of Ireland. and will have a detrimental effect. It says it's really an act of madness, and I would gladly second this motion.
Chair, just to say, I mean, I know there may be certainly immediate issues that have to be tackled, but certainly when the referendum was being conducted, all the Remainers were actually predicting gloom and doom. They were predicting an apocalypse situation that was going to develop over the economy. There was going to have to be an emergency cabinet meeting to discuss an emergency budget to help mitigate all the various issues as the economy would go on a downturn and a spiral. But none of this has happened, Madam Chair. And in fact, I read a report by a recent German businessman that 5 years ago, or that in 5 years, that there is a potential Britain having more of a free market orientated model would actually place them in a better position than their EU partners. Now, already there are large emerging economies across the world who are wanting stronger trade links with Britain, and we've all heard the news lately, India and China and Brazil. The European Commission itself, and I'm quoting from them here, they're saying that in the next 10 to 15 years, 90% of the world demand will be generated outside of Europe. 90% of the markets outside Europe because of emerging economies. But in reality, EU companies will still want to do business with the United Kingdom, because it's pure and simply this, that they sell more to us than we sell to them. BMW, and I believe that there might be more BMW cars per head of population in Northern Ireland than any other country in Europe. BMW, Audi, Volkswagen, and Mercedes will still want to be able to sell their products here. German companies, etc., want to be able to sell their services. So it's just a simple case. Now, if we're selling our services, and I've said this here before when we were in the middle of a Brexit debate, now, if we produce the right products and the right services, the right quality and the right standard at the right price, people want to buy them. It's as simple as that. Money talks. It's done so from generations, and it'll always be the same. And Councillor Hardy's quite right, and I know there are immediate issues concerning the farming community, and certainly I would like to see them been supported. But there was funding for the farming community before we joined the EU, and there's going to be still funding. I know there's 300 million goes on single farm payments, and that's not even counting grants to less favourable areas, Chairman. But what I would say to this is, yes, the farming community will be supported, and it needs to be supported, and those resources that have been paid to Europe need to be directed towards the farming community. They don't suffer in any way over the coming months, and certainly any of the projects that we have, any of those community projects, certainly don't need to suffer either. But there is positives. I mean, I find it a bit ironic that this notice of motion by the Borders Against Brexit are putting obstacles to it, are making in many ways fictitious claims about what the border is going to become. I mean, and they're the ones that are putting it. No one else seems to be putting these obstacles in the way with regards to cross-border communities and what sort of checkpoints, etc., is going to have to be. But there are opportunities, and certainly there's opportunities, as I've said, on the world trade situation. There's opportunities to redress the shambles of the fishing industry. There's opportunities to put the whole bureaucracy. If you can't spread slurry at certain times of year, I never have liked unelected bureaucrats in Europe telling me when that I can do certain things and when I can't. And this is the whole thing that I like about our own devolved assembly, is the fact local decisions in local hands for local people to be able to decide things. Now, just as a point of correction, I mean, the Nosal Motion talks about the north of Ireland. Now, geographically, yes, I live in the north of Ireland, so they were all here. But politically or constitutionally, this is the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And it was up, it was a vote there. Now, Northern Ireland voted in 1972. They didn't want to go into the European Union. I had to respect that. And all I'm saying there is that we have to respect the fact that there was a huge mandate of 17.4 million, the biggest turnout ever in the history of any election in these islands, voted for Brexit. And that, I don't know what's going to happen in the Supreme Court. I wouldn't like to be a betting man, but I do know this, that Brexit's here. It will stay. And I don't believe Parliament will overturn it. When you hear about the division in the Labour camp as well in Westminster. So it's here to stay, and I think it's time we moved the debate on, and it's time we looked at the positives, looked at the opportunities, and decided what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and campaign for the best for our farmers and for everyone else that needs it in our community, Chair.
Okay, well, I just said there one thing that you said, that the Remain camp had fictitious information. I think the Leave campaign had more fictitious before the vote than what you might say we had afterwards. Next, Gary Stokes.
Yeah, sure. Certainly, we welcome the motion. And just really pick up on what Councillor Craig's saying. I can't get my head around the DUP position. I think they're delusional in a lot of ways on this. I think they entered into this before the election. I think they had a fear that UKIP were going to demolish them at the election. Brexit hasn't happened yet. We've had a referendum, but I hear people say, oh, none of the bad things have happened yet. Well, Britain is still a member of the European Union. You know, for all the great talk where Brexit means Brexit, you know, the Tory cabinet still haven't triggered Article 50. They're still going around the edges. And, you know, the fact is that there's been huge now uncertainty about European money already. The Interreg programme's put on hold. I mean, I see it in my own day-to-day at work. It is having an impact, and there is uncertainty. And yes, those farm payments are there at the moment, but no one knows when they'll be there or when they're not. You're a farmer, Chairman. You go in to the bank looking money next week, and they're going to the first thing and say, well, hold on a minute here. You don't know what's going to be happening. We're not going to lend any money. Your single farm payment or whatever mightn't be there. And yet, I see there in the note the deal that Sunderland get. Does anybody think the Tory cabinet, Theresa May and Boris and the rest, and their priority is going to be Newry, Mourne and Down? I can tell you, like all politicians, they have one eye on re-election, sure. They've been looking after their own area. So yes, Sunderland got a special deal there. Do you think there'd be any special deals for here? No. I live, Chair, within walking distance of the border. I certainly do not have a fear, as a lot of people have, Chair. We don't know what passport arrangements are going to be. We don't want we don't know what customs arrangements are going to be. People are saying it'll never happen. I'm sorry, people are not in a position to give that guarantee, and it has created huge uncertainty. For local people, for people who work and travel across the border to work every day, both north and south, it has created huge uncertainty. And I welcome the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Henry?
Yeah, Madam Chair. You know, the fear-mongering that the Brexiteers were accused of, it's still coming thick and fast from the people who were so confident that they were going to win this referendum but lost. And they have to adapt and they have to adjust and get used to it. I'm desperately disappointed that Cadogan left because I was looking forward to getting ripped into him. It's just unfortunate because Rushing's such a nice lady, it's very hard to offend her. But, Chairman, in terms of trade and investment has not been damaged. And Brexit has already had a major effect because it shocked the world markets and it put sterling down to where it was meant to be. Sterling was grossly overvalued for years and it was hurting the UK economy. If you look at the Armagh Down Observer last week, 500 new jobs coming to Newry in retail. If you look at what's happening in Kilkeel because of the weaker pound, BE Aerospace, huge investment, 80 more jobs, well-paid, skilled jobs coming to Kilkeel. And that is a trend that will continue because the pound's not going to jump up back to where it was before. In terms of farming, Madam Chair, the budget that the European Commission has is a budget that has increasing demand.
Henry, were you answering the phone there, were you?
No.
Okay.
It's an increasing demand on it with reduced resources.
If you're recording, Henry, you're a breach of what I said at the start of the meeting.
What?
Are you recording?
No.
He's got Facebook already, all right.
No, I haven't. I was just looking at something before, whenever. But, no,
broadcast live.
Madam Chair. No, in terms of farming, the future for farming and the fishing industry has never been better. And if you take the UK at the minute, 48% of the food that the UK produces that we need. And if we do revert to World Trade Organization tariffs, food will have a big tariff on it. The opportunities for UK farmers will be absolutely massive. If we can get back control of our fishing grounds, that will actually inject billions, literally billions of money, of pounds, into the Northern Ireland economy, never mind the UK economy as a whole. There's going to be no border, hard border from Londonderry to Newry. That is not going to happen because not one party on the island of Ireland or in GB wants it. Nobody. Only these fantasists who are putting up signs saying this is a UK border post. It's not going to happen. And even if we were outside the customs union, commerce nowadays is e-commerce. You do all your paperwork before the lorry leaves the yard. There is no need for a hard border anymore. In terms of the passport controls, there's no need for passport controls because it will work as it does in any other country in the world. If you go into that country, you will not be able to work unless you've got the proper work permits, or you can't avail of health services or whatever unless you can show that you're a resident of that country. So all this talk about borders and customs borders and all is a lot of nonsense. Chairman, I think it's dreadful that people are still trying to do us down when there's no need for it. And if you look at what happened on the 23rd of June, it was a fair vote. The government sent every household in this country a leaflet, and you were told it's your decision and whatever you agree will be implemented across the United Kingdom. 44% of the people in Northern Ireland voted to leave. I would have rather it was a majority, and I think only for idiots it's like some politicians stand about putting up these huge border posts and armed helicopters and patrolling the border and all. I think if those unionist idiots hadn't have said those things, that it wouldn't have happened. We would have swung a majority in Northern Ireland, because it was those sort of comments that put people off and put fear into people unnecessarily. So, Chairman, I think that we should rejoice in where we are. We're going to have national self-determination, ruling ourselves, breaking the shackles of unaccountability. As an Irish man, I have to say, Chairman, I've never been happier.
Chair, I'll disregard the remark that Councillor Riley said about unionist idiots. I'm certainly no idiot. And maybe whenever if Donald Trump wins tomorrow night, he might be his future Secretary of State the way he's pumping him over Facebook the last while. But anyway. Well, we should. But anyway.
Henry, you had your thing.
If he took the opportunity to listen to what I have to say, he might actually find out that I was going to support what he was saying. But anyway. Chair, I just want to say that I'm concerned about the details of the motion that we'll have before us tonight. It does show a total disregard to the democratic vote that was taken on the 23rd of June, where the majority of citizens of the UK expressed their wish to leave the EU. Every one of us in this chamber was well aware, when the referendum on the UK's membership took place, that the vote would be decided on a wider UK basis, irrespective of the results regionally. Any attempt to ignore that result would be undemocratic, completely wrong, and a display of contempt for the decision taken to remove the UK from the EU. Rather than suggesting proposals such as this presented before us tonight, which chooses to ignore the democratic wish of the citizens of the UK and offers suggestions which are unrealistic and unachievable, we as a council should be concentrating on pressing the Northern Ireland Executive to produce a plan which has been sadly lacking to date as a matter of urgency to handle the Brexit process. I do acknowledge that there are concerns about the future of our country as a result of Brexit, but it is now paramount moving forward that we ensure that the interests of Northern Ireland are protected by the Executive when the UK Government enters into full negotiations with the EU when Article 50 is triggered. The days of being a Remainer or Brexit here are over. It is time to come together to work collectively to identify and exploit the positive potential for Northern Ireland as a result of Brexit. That should be our priority at stage, and the Ulster Unionist Party will not be supporting the motion as it stands tonight.
Justin Marks here.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm disappointed to hear, really, that, you know, Unionist parties are not supporting the notion of the motion, because actually all of this ANSD is that the vote is to be respected, the vote to remain. And I think that to ignore that part of it is quite dangerous. And, you know, and before the criticism of these, I don't want to get into divert into a criticism of the Unionist party, but I feel I must, because I do think they're derogating their duties in terms of not even joining the All-Ireland Forum at the end of the day, which was about the people of this whole island and the complexity of its relationship and forthcoming relationship with Europe. Mm-hmm. I think not to attend that certainly reflects very, very poorly on them. And I do think that, you know, I speak to you, I respect for Gareth, but I do think it's heads in the sand, Gareth, when you think that, you know, nothing has happened. You should know better than I do that nothing has happened. They haven't left the EU yet. And, you know, we're looking around, you know, grasping for solutions. And people, actually, there's total confusion, not alone here, but in Westminster. And to try to tell people here tonight that nothing has changed and everything's fine is definitely head in the sand stuff. I mean, the if you look at the amount of money that's coming in from, that has come in since 1994, $13 billion. And do we think that at the end of the day, six little counties on the north, western, eastern side of Europe is going to have any sort of money like that coming in, especially from London, where the Scottish can't even get money out of London, never mind us. So I think that the attitude is very, very poor, and it's quite negligent. You know, when you look at a lot of the figures, and someone said, I think I'm part of the debate, that, oh, they'll be fired from the shackles of the rules and regulations. So people not realise there'll be twice as many rules and regulations, because Britain will be a small competitor in a big, wide world. You know, so to try and say that our farmers are going to be crucified, totally crucified, because they're competing against the rest of the farmers in Europe on the world market. So people talk about electronic border, another absolute joke, because the electronic border means controlled roads, where you'll only be able to pass across over the so-called border at certain crossing points at certain times. So I mean, to try and say there's no problem and not to get involved at the end of the day with which the motion is actually talked about addressing the problems, to me is a very negative and a bad attitude, really, to a very real problem for everybody, north, south, east and west. Thank you, Chair.
Terry Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. As we all know, Brexit has been in everybody's lips since the referendum of June. And I voted to stay in, like many other countless people here. And more or less, points have been spoken about the farming community and about the effects that it's going to have long term. But we also have to think about the fishing community, the fishermen, and all the people that are out on the sea for a living or whatever. You know, what the effects going to have on them or whatever, you know, and export and whatever. So, but just to think, it's just time to we'll have to see what happens. You know, in relation, and unfortunately, the proposal of the motion is not here because I would like to propose a way amendment to it. But in fact, and understand notice. Is this motion not a motion because the proposal's not here to propose it? But I like clarification not there. But in relation to the bottom line of the motion, he more or less touched on the the wish of the campaign for border communities against Brexit, all the best in their labours. But that council is actively involved with other bodies as well, such as East Border and the Uri Mourlouth and Down Committees. So at the end of the day, we've plenty of avenues to get our message across. And as I say, we are determined as a council to work damned hard to make sure that we will fight people's corners to minimise the effects that Brexit is going to have in both parts of the country, both north and south.
Have you proposed an amendment, Terry?
Yes, I do propose, but unfortunately,
under 16.15 of the standing orders, if a motion set out in the summons is not moved either by the member who gave notice or by some other member on his behalf, it shall, unless postponed by the consent of the council, be treated as withdrawn and shall not be moved without fresh notice. So, however, Roisin, it was agreed that she would take it over. So, there is. So, have you an amendment?
Yes, just the amendment that we've been here to our organisations in relation to that minimise the effect of Brexit. I just wanted to absorb organisations in, but we work with others as well. That we work with all. This council has to actively support all efforts by various organisations and bodies to remain with that and remain part of the community.
What would
our organisations do together? Well, sir, what's the number of people? So we have to support these border regions. A lot of us, as coaches in this chamber, have been there every door possible to put a case for that. But we have not done it for anybody. So I don't think that's the case here.
Okay. John Chaner?
I don't like bringing the tone down, but as a 26-year-old, I have to worry for my future, but not just my future. There are many young people out there right now who are facing uncertainties as it is. This is another uncertainty put upon them. Free movement of people helped a generation of young people across the world, across Europe, to gain invaluable experience. Are we saying now that we should disallow them from travelling to get that valuable experience, to come back home, to bring that experience home with them? Is that what we're saying when we say Brexit? Do we want to disadvantage our young people? I find that the tone tonight was very light-hearted for such a serious matter. And unfortunately, I have to say I was disgusted at one point due to that light nature with a serious matter. I think of so many young people coming through school now, so many young people who don't understand because of their age, they don't understand the importance of what happened. I work with young people. I'm a youth worker, and for me, tonight just killed me. Just sitting here at points, and some of the points that are being said. Now, there's been falsehoods, obviously, on one side. There's been uncertainty on the other side. That's the problem. First, the problem is not much uncertainty. We can't make it a system. We don't know what way to go forward. And as it was rightly said, we need to talk to the executive. We need to find a way forward. If Theresa May and the government enact Article 50, well, first of all, they will have to go through Parliament, as it's come out in the High Courts, as it's been the Constitution. And it'll be through Royal Prerogative. Obviously, it has to go to the Queen for assent. If we enact Article 50, then we do need to move forward. I was part of the 56% that voted to remain because I didn't want uncertainty. I didn't want to put young people in jeopardy. I didn't want to disadvantage them. However, where we stand at the minute, I'd keep fighting, obviously, to remain. But if it comes down to the bone and we have to leave, I do have to say we need to be prepared. At the minute, us arguing over what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's false, that is not going to get us away forward. It's not going to get us away forward. We need to work on solutions, not create more obstacles. And the lighthearted tone tonight just killed me. I don't know what, it's my faith. And if we can do that, it's been shook tonight. And I would hope that in the future we can maybe take serious matters like this a bit more seriously. It's not for our own sakes, for the people we represent, for the futures to come. And I'm sorry that I've had to take the tone down a bit by saying that, but from my position and thinking of the people who on a daily basis I see coming in the night and thinking of their futures, it's pushed me emotionally, it's moved me emotionally to say what I've had to say tonight. I'm normally a very reserved person, would not be as outspoken as this. And I'm sorry if I have dulled the moment, but we do need to take matters seriously. And I hope that we do remain, obviously. If we don't remain, we do need to take it on the chin. We need to push forward. We need to get the best for us. We need to get the best for the six counties. We need to get the best for Newry, Mourne and Down. We need to get the best for our young people. But I do sincerely hope that people will understand and see that this uncertainty is not doing us any favours. It's not doing our young people any favours. It's not doing our businesses any favours. I hope that people will see common sense. They will see the benefits that we have reaped from Europe over the years. I hope that people will see the benefits of free movement for our people, for others, for our understanding of other cultures, for our understanding of other people, understanding of other religions. How it's made this generation a tolerant generation, I would say. I hope people can see that. And in the end, it will be what it will be, as we've been told. But we need to take this maybe a bit more seriously and look for solutions rather than obstacles in the end. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Councillor Hannah.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I was listening to Roisin now, and she's talking about the ups and downs and where the fluctuations are. Roisin, we've had that this 100 years, so I have there with the border there. It's almost 100 years now since we had the border. Currencies fluctuate up and down, it goes in waves. Sometimes Newry does well, sometimes Dundurk does well. That's sort of ongoing. The one thing that really annoyed me there was Dagland. Dagland telling about sticking heads in the ground. I believe the SDLP and Sinn Féin are sticking their heads in the ground. To be quite honestly, the Democratic Union, not the Democratic Unionist Party, the Social Democratic and Labour Party, they're Democrats. The UK has now voted to leave the bracket, leave UK, EU, so they have. To be quite honest, the uncertainty is coming from everybody talking this up. What we all need to do now is actually put our heads down, get on with it. Yeah. We need to get on with it, so we do. And we'll have to trust the British government so we do there to do it for us. We'll have to trust them so we do. Well, put it this way. The British government is like the British government, so it is.
All right, guys. Okay.
Who hates the British government? They are our British government. Theresa May is going to be there negotiating for us. We can scout all we like so we can for special status. Well, if that is the way you're going to go down, Mourne, the Kingdom of Mourne voted to leave. So can the Kingdom of Mourne leave and the rest of Northern Ireland? You can't do that. That is the stupidest argument you can really come up with. And all this, you talk about coming up with special solutions for here. I don't think we'll get a special solution. We'll get special concessions to a world, possibly over the cross-border just travelling backwards and forth. Yes, we will get that. And we will get arrangements to a world. We will get arrangements to sit our special needs here to a world. We will get them. But I'm listening to John there. To be quite honest with John, I think you're in cuckoo land. I honestly think you're in cuckoo land. We've opened the door to a bright future, so I have. I think in another 5 years' time, you'll be thanking us for doing it. Thank you.
Any chance you just want to pay attention, though? Harry?
Well, I just like to say, we've listened to a number of statements, but just to say, I'm sure as you know, us as a group won't be supporting the motion here tonight. Thank you.
Davy Highland.
Yeah, Madam Chair. A lot of interpretations. The reality is, folks, we don't know what the future holds at the minute. Because the British government never, in its wildest dreams, felt it was going to be defeated on this particular issue. But they have been. The strange thing that has happened here is that parts, so-called parts of Britain, have voted to stay in, including this part, the north of Ireland. They voted to stay in. Scotland also voted to stay in. So you can understand why people in both those parts have worries and concerns about it. But I know that there are a mess being shoveled around left, right and centre. For instance, we are told that England would be open to millions and millions and millions of Turkish people coming through, of Romanians coming through, of all the shadow of European people coming through. And of course, that hasn't materialised. And it won't materialise. But if we are living in a free Europe and a Europe without borders, then people, as you see in Spain and in France and in
different parts of Europe. There are plenty of expats living in those parts of Europe and enjoying quite a lot of the benefits from living in those parts. So if we're going to open it up for those sort of people to enjoy those benefits, then it's hard for us to say no, we're not going to let other people from Europe come in. And we've seen an influx, as right any place in the north, of people coming into Newry. And I think the vast majority of those people have been positive, and they've brought very hard working attitudes and commitments to Newry. And I taught some of their children, and their children would shame some of our own children in terms of their behaviour and their attitudes in class. The only thing just happens, and it's a strange thing to say, but I don't think I've seen Newry as busy as it's been in the last number of weeks. Newry has certainly enjoyed some benefits from this.
Yeah,
I'm being realistic. I'm not going to say no that that hasn't been the case. I mean, last Thursday in Newry, it took me an hour to get through the town because the traffic, particularly from the south, was so heavy. I'm sure the people who own the Butter Crane and own the Keys and other businesses out in Newry will welcome that, because they were struggling at times as well. So again, we don't know what to say. I'm not going to come down heavy one way or the other, but what I am going to say is that I think that this debate needs to be opened up. I don't think we should be afraid of it. I don't think we should discourage it. I think we need discussion and debate on it, and to try to get a positive way forward. Thank you.
Okay, Michael Carr.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And, I suppose I have to concur with some of the comments that Terry made. Earlier on in the meeting, we had the minutes of the SPR where we said we're waiting on a report back from Brexit and we're going to hold a conference. So I'm not sure we should limit this to just one support group that we're supporting. So, but the reason I put my light on it is more an observation, Chair, and that is that the notice of motion tonight, the 9 paragraphs long, it's more like speaking notes than it is a notice of motion. I think notice of motion should be succinct. They normally are 1 paragraph, 2 paragraphs at most. And I was just wondering if Cadogan needs some training. Maybe we should organise that. But I do think that notice of motion over this past while are coming in, and it's more like reading a book than a notice of motion, something to get through this council. I think we should be much more succinct and run that past the staff that are putting it into minutes. I think there's far too much in it. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Billy.
Chair, thank you very much. And I've listened to the debate here. First and foremost, I am disappointed that the presenter of the motion wasn't here tonight to deal with it. So he wasn't. He knew this motion was on as he put it on, and it's not here. I'm very, very disappointed. And when we talk about referendums, I think we do have to move on. There was a democratic vote taken. We have voted to exit Europe, so we have, and we have to accept that. Now we have to start working, because it will happen. Yes, there might be a vote in Parliament in relation to it, and when you hear what MPs are saying, even ones that wanted to remain have said that they will vote to exit because it was the will of the people. Now, a number of years ago, after the Good Friday Agreement was signed, there was a referendum, and we who voted against, who voted no in that referendum, were told we had to accept it. So you had your referendum then in relation to Northern Ireland. We had to accept it reluctantly. Then we have a number of years ago when the euro came into existence, we were told that if we didn't accept the euro and we retained the pound, be dire straits, be a terrible thing, what would happen to us? We would go bankrupt, we would go bust. The best thing we ever done was remain and retain the pound. So it did. And nobody can say it wasn't. It was. And lastly, Davy had hit on it. I'm reading in the local press and the Telegraph, the newsletter, and that the border towns is doing a roaring trade at the minute with the value of the pound. You are right. So you are, David. They're doing a roaring trade in that. You know, they're enjoying it down there, so they are at the minute. You know, and that will continue. That will continue. But to be honest, we need to move on, whether we like it or not. And the Remainers, whether they like it or not, we are leaving Europe, so we are. We are leaving Europe, so you need to get over it. You're coming out, so you are. So let's work together as a team. Let's work together as a council. And do what's best for the people there, because we are coming out. We'll not reverse this. We won't reverse it, so we won't. So let's work together as a collective team of 41 councillors and officials in this area to get what's right. And yes, lobby our sovereign government to get the proper funds that we will be getting, you know, when we're not sending the money to Europe.
Mark?
Just a quick one on the... Councillor Craig made the point of Europe will want to continue doing business with the UK as we buy more of them. You know, it's a simple way for companies to continue doing trade with the UK is locate in Ireland. There's a free trade agreement between Ireland and UK, so that's going to have an impact. Arlene Foster talked about Ireland trying to steal businesses from Northern Ireland from investing in Ireland. Business will be looking and putting their money where they see they can have the best of both worlds, trading with the EU and trading with the UK. So, you know, I'm afraid that it spells a disaster for Northern Ireland, or the North of Ireland, whatever way you want to describe it. But any companies, any chance of investment coming in here, I believe is very limited post-Brexit. Thank you.
George, could I just mention, it's been mentioned a couple of times about the original proposer of the motion, Cadogan Enright. He couldn't stay for the motion because his wife was unwell. I think it had to be put on the public record and he had to go home.
I am aware that he had to be home for 7:30. Terry, your amendment?
Pete wanted.
Yeah, just a quick point in the end. Picking up on a point that Councillor Craig brought up. First of all, I welcome the motion. And I think in the wording of the motion that it's just asking to support the Remain or respect the vote of the people of the North that voted to Remain. I don't think that's the hard thing to ask. But the one thing that, you know, sitting listening to everybody talking here, and just to reiterate Gary's point, that Brexit hasn't happened. So this talk about the ground falling in is absolute nonsense. But if we're talking about going outside and the market that's opened outside of the EU, and suddenly just because Theresa May lands on a plane in India and suddenly India's looking to make a trade deal with us is absolute nonsense. I traded with India for 15 years and I can tell you in the last 6 months, or 3 months sorry, since Theresa May came into office, that she strengthened the controls on visas so much that the supplier of my company who was to land here in the country on Friday has been denied his visa, and this would have been a strict trip here. Now, this is all a fascination about controlling immigration figures, where we've got a whole referendum there that was based on complete lies, and this fascination of getting immigration down to under net migration down to under 100,000. If we're looking at the immigration figures, 58% of the migrants coming here are outside the EU. You're talking about countries like India and Brazil. So you only have 42% of the people coming from the EU. So this whole scaremongering that Eastern European countries have flooded the UK and taken the jobs is absolute nonsense. So you're talking about India is going to want to have a trade deal with the UK, and just because of one news story. For Theresa May to go out to India and discuss a post-Brexit trade deal, trade and immigration are inextricably linked. The Prime Minister of India is going to be very heavy-handed in opening doors for people to come over here, whether it's foreign students or business visas. So that you're going to have an influx of people coming from countries that we make trade deals with. This arrogance of going around the world from the Tory party and thinking that they've got a really good deal, they can go to any country and get all that they want and leave without giving other countries other concessions is nonsense. You will never control the migration figures coming into the UK. If you're talking about net migration of 330,000 people, of 180,000 coming from inside the EU, this nonsense of a whole referendum, all the discussion about migration, when the numbers coming outside the EU are bigger, and we're going to go around trying to do trade deals. So I think this dancing about, you know, there's the plane landed in India and we're going to have a deal, it needs to be addressed. As I say, I have to apply for the suppliers again to get another visa. And this is just trying to put pressure on... It's trying to get these figures down for no reason. So Britain is not going to go into... And I think some of the councillors, Sinn Féin councillors, said as well, Britain thinks that they're going to go into negotiations with the EU saying that we're going to get X, Y and Z. Listening to Councillor Riley and Councillor Craig, you'd nearly think to have it all sorted. The Tory party hasn't a clue what its priorities are. Yes, you can walk in and say the single market, but to have the single market, you have 27 other member states is going to ask, it's not going to give the UK everything they want. You know, the single market, you're going to have some free movement of people, and they've already thrown out the Norway model. So this, it galls me as a man that lives on the border and as a man that runs a business that imports from India for 15 years and seen how things have got more difficult over the last 6 months, that we're singing a dance and saying that we're going to get the market that's opened outside the EU, and suddenly these people are going to, you know, there's going to be an influx of trade in the UK. Yeah. As other people have said, people don't know what's going to happen. This motion says that just to respect the Remain vote, that's not anything big to ask. I find it galling that the First Minister of this country would go around with the divisive language of calling, you know, one side of a referendum Remainers. You know, let's be realistic about it. It's not to listen to the Leave side once they've won the argument or won the referendum. We all know that referendum is advisory, but once we've won it, we need to get on with it and make a success of it. Brexit means Brexit, let's make a success of it. It's absolute nonsense talk, and it's just playing the sky words when you're talking to somebody who is in business importing from India. I can tell you things got a lot more difficult and will get difficult in the future. And you will probably have more people coming into the country from outside the EU than currently are coming into the country now.
Franklin.
Thanks, Chair. I am very concerned as well with the comments that have been made about Dublin stealing jobs from the north. Has anyone forgot that most of our jobs in telecom have already been stolen by India? We have lost call centres, but there is a big shout here about new call centres and new jobs created in Belfast. For how long? And where do those call centres then relocate to? We have to be realistic. Doing business with India is for the benefit of India, not for the benefit of Northern Ireland.
Okay, we'll move back to Terry.
I think I've got it here. Just more or less in relation to the amendment, and bullet point six, also to add the fishing community, the fishing industry in bullet point six, and also in the last line, to substitute that this council will actively support and work with everyone in the months ahead to get a fair deal up to and after Brexit. That's just my amendment. As a proposal, we'd be happy to accept.
Terry, you switch the light off, networking.
You know, that at every opportunity, at every level, we are raising the concerns. Like, the border communities against Brexit are a group of community workers, business people, farming community. They are representative of all peoples from all sections of the community. And whether we like to admit it or not, we are in a unique situation that Scotland or Wales or England are not in. I have a young niece who has just got married. Her husband works in the south, she works in the north. The effects of Brexit and the effect on the currency has actually meant that they can no longer buy their house because of the effect it has had on their salary. That is reality. We are a border community. We are stronger working together. I sat on that border when Uri was booming. You go to any of the family businesses in Uri and you ask them, were they ever booming? Lord Sainsbury's was booming. You could have driven a jumbo jet up Monaghan Street on a Saturday. This is about local people whose families are rooted in our community, and we have got to protect them and their welfare. So I think what what this group is asking for is that we as a council support and raise their concerns at every opportunity and through all avenues with whatever committees that this council works with. I don't have an issue with them saying about the fisheries, but I just think that if people think that we are not going to pay the price for this, they are very sorely mistaken. And if anybody in the DUP knows something different, that Arlene or Theresa aren't telling us, bring it on. We were told 350 million extra for the NHS. Look at our hospital over there. It's on its bloody knees. When's the money coming? When's the money coming? So that's what this group is asking, that people will actually, that we as a council will respect their vote and that we will make sure that their concerns are being raised at every opportunity.
Okay, you have enough to, right, we're just going to take a vote on that?
For the motion?
All in favour of the motion.
And again.
16 to 8,
the motion is 22 to 8.
Motion's carried.
Okay.
Item 26. Okay. To consider matters in relation to an appeal to the High Court, Newry Moreland Down District Council versus Francis Hamill. Be the public right of way concession road to the border. This item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 5 of part 1 of schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland, 2014. Information in relation to the claim for a legal professional privilege could be maintained in the legal proceedings, and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. Proposed and seconded. And I know what they're doing, they're writing on.
John. Seconded by John Trainer.
Yeah. Okay, Amber, I'm going to hand over to Eamon McManus.
We just remember just to say, just don't want to be in court, we'll come out to
the media. Go out and take the test back in.
Just come out of committee.
Okay. Chairman, when in committee, Council proposed by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor McGrew, agreed before Council, agreed to the recommendation, which was Eamon.
Sorry, Chair.
The recommendation from the Council is that the Council reconsiders the position and resolves to run the appeal itself to have a decision of the County Court upheld by the High Court.
Sorry, Brian, once again.
Chair, this letter that was left in front of all councillors' positions tonight about this lady who has a problem with disabled access into a business here in Down Patrick. Is there a council recommendation or anything from this letter?
You have to go and look at it.
It's just correspondence from members. It's not part of the council committee meeting.
Thank you.